Hey, Ricky Ricardo, you ready for me?
Hit it.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's August 30th, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation audio publication, episode number 126.
This is No Agenda.
Coming to you from the 17th Century Canal House, Crackpot Command Center in Amsterdam, Gitmo Nation East, straight from the catwalk to your iPod, I'm Adam Curry.
And from fogged in Silicon Valley North, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Almost not in the morning anymore. It's almost in the afternoon.
No, we got plenty of time. It's only 10:30.
Yeah, sorry about that. Had a little bit of family biz to take care of.
That's fine. People don't care. Most people probably aren't even up by 9.
Well, they are. They are on the East Coast. I like 8 o'clock.
At East Coast, it'd be 11, so they'd be watching football.
Oh, please. And on Thursday, I'd like to do it at, I'd like to see if we can do 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Yeah, on Thursday. Yeah, Gitmo Nation West time.
Where are you going to be?
I will be flying, well, I fly back from Chicago back to Amsterdam on Thursday morning. And so I got some stuff to do. You know, stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I can do 8. Probably
8:15. Cool. So anyway, I just got back from the Haute Couture Fashion Show, where my lovely daughter, my now 19-year-old daughter, was on the catwalk.
She didn't fall?
She almost did slip out of the shoes. You know, it's funny when you go backstage and one of these fashion shows, you know, these clothes are not really made for these girls. That's why they're all kind of like one size. So, you know, there's like gaffer tape and clothespins and all kinds of stuff and shoes. You know, here's some shoes. What? They're too big? Stick some tissue paper in them. You know, so here's my 19-year-old kid. And she's on this big-ass catwalk and all of the nation's press is watching her. And she's like, and the shoe is almost like flying off her foot. Yeah, I mean, I saw it. No one else saw it. You know, it was cool.
Well, you know, every year, two or three models take a tumble. It's always
the best ones.
Most of it's on YouTube.
Yeah, and Christina and I discussed this. Please don't become a YouTube clip. She's like, no, I'm not going to. She did a great job. I was very, very, very proud, Papa. So that was
so.
Cool.
How tall is she? And what does she weigh?
None of your business, you dirty old
she
man.
She has to be at least 5'8". I just want to know if she's one of the tall types, or the shorter, skinnier ones.
I'm not quite sure what she weighs. She's skinny, but not crazy skinny. She's got beautiful, curvaceous, very feminine hips.
Yeah, she
only
have to be skinny. They won't hire you.
Yeah, but she's 5'7", so technically she's a little too short.
Oh, she's short.
Yeah, but she's a celebrity model, dude. So she's allowed to get away with it. And you know, at the end where the designer comes out, and then he always takes one of the models and takes her up front in front of all the press. So of course he took my daughter all the way up front. It was cool. It was fun. And it was a harrowing moment for me.
Did you wave and yell, "Hi, Daddy, hi, Daddy"?
No, but I was there going like, "Yay!" Everyone looking at me like, "Shut the fuck up, dude. What are you doing?" Anyway, so that coincided exactly with our normal kickoff time for the show.
So what's going on over there in Europe? I saw that they now have, you know, coincidentally leaked the memos that show that the Iraqi or the, I'm sorry, the Libyan.
In the UK, yeah, that it's all about oil.
Yeah, and they mysteriously leaked these documents, of course, which is based on our theory, is just a cover up for the real reason they released the guy. And they just basically throw Gordon Brown under the bus, say, "Oh, it was for oil. We screwed up." And then let's forget the fact that maybe they have the real evidence that was the whole scheme was something else.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's pretty blatant almost. I mean, we predicted it. I think actually you predicted it. And it's exactly what happens. And we found some memos from 2 years ago. And that, of course, is exactly why this was a whole oil swap. And now, you know, Gaddafi's son is, you know, now he's being pushed to the forefront. Of course, he's going to take over eventually, you know, the typical way it works in world stage politics. So,
Yeah.
And talking about that kind of thing, I think it's going to be an interesting situation happening in Massachusetts. By the way, all this morning, it's all it was for another day. Ted Kennedy and Ted Kennedy. I mean, it's like this guy.
Before you go on your rant.
They didn't give him this much ink. What?
You're going to go on a rant, but I'd like to say something before you go on the rant. It pisses me off. Well, I hope you are, because I've got a jingle for your rants. It really upsets me. No, nay, pisses me off that here nay? We have. Yeah, that's, and you know, that's old English. N-A-H.
Yeah, yeah,
N-A-Y,
I know.
N-A-Y, nay.
Yeah, N-A-Y.
The I's and the nays. So I say a nay. It pisses me off that here we have to have, you know, the whole coffin with the flag draped over it, yet the American media has expressly been forbidding from showing any young servicemen or women who were killed in the line of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. You're not allowed to show their coffins, but let's show the drunk. Let's show his coffin. Oh, and by the way, let's put him in Arlington Cemetery. I guess the barrier to entry is pretty low. John, we should reserve our plot there. We could be there now.
So here's the deal. Here's what I'm seeing coming down the road. They've already talked about who's going to replace him. And, you know, they're trying to push Dukakis.
You're kidding me.
No, Dukakis is like at the top of the list. But you know who they're going to I think before all is said and done, they're going to try to push another Kennedy in. And I'm thinking that Dingbat Carroll.
Well, didn't they try that? Didn't they try that in New York?
They
tried to put her into Hillary's spot, and then Carolyn got threatened right?
She backed out. Backed out of the deal, and I think, to be honest about it, I think that somebody came up to her and said, look, it's going to be a tough go anyway. You get a lot of flack. Let him beat the crap out of you. Then there'll be some sympathy because Teddy's not long for this world. Why don't you do it in Massachusetts? You can be closer to home.
And you know they talk that way. Then the old geezer's going to croak, man. Don't worry about it. You'll get your spot, babes.
We talk that way. I mean, that's the way people talk.
I met her. I was introduced to her through, of all people, Tom Brokaw. And she's very nice.
She seems like a very pleasant person. Actually wouldn't really object to this, but I don't think she's the brightest bulb in the pack.
I also met now who's the who's kind of like the loser of the family?
There's a bunch of them.
So it's her cousin. It's the guy who's actually running the Special Olympics, who was doing that with Eunice, and of course now taken
Robert
it over.
Kennedy Jr. Maybe.
No. It's I had dinner with him once. Yeah,
there's still a million.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them running around. But Carolyn Kennedy, this was when she was doing the library, and she was interested. This is in the late '90s. She was interested in putting the JFK library on the internets, and she had asked Tom Brokaw who could help her with that. And I thought, I was tickled pink that Tom Brokaw said, that Adam Curry, should talk to him. I'm like, yeah, cool. No business. No business whatsoever. I showed her the, here's what we'll charge you. What, you won't do it for free for Camelot?
And, I'm sure that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, well, you know what I said there.
No service for you!
She was totally looking for a freebie.
Well, anyway, I think that this hasn't cropped up yet. I'm just kind of predicting it's a possibility.
Yeah, it's totally possible.
But Dukakis is on the other side of that equation, and he's going to be trying to get in there.
And, you know, Dukakis, of course, has a bad rap. I really wasn't following politics that much at the time. In fact, I was pretty much enslaved to the Gitmo Nation system and bought it all with the rest of them. Of course, what killed his presidential run, his career, is the goofy-ass picture of him in the tank with the stupid helmet on, and no one could take the guy seriously anymore.
A classic.
It was. That was the Howard Dean scream, and you had the Dukakis helmet gaffe sticking out of the tank, looking like he looked goofy, man. He just looked like a douche.
It was hilarious.
It really was. And they ran that over and over and over again. And that's how you don't become president in the United States. It doesn't matter. You know, if you're in Italy, you can be screwing models. You can have naked people hanging out at the pool. You can have questionable romances with 18-year-olds. Divorce your wife. Sue the newspapers. And, you know, you're cool, man. You're hanging. No problem.
Yeah, well, that's Italy. So, Anyway, the other thing that's going on, there's a couple of interesting things happening over here. I'll mention one. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is going to...
A trial on global warming?
Yeah, they want a trial on global warming because they just... But I was reading through some of these reports, especially the ones in the New York Times, and they're kind of... They have kind of a twisted...
I got the L.A. Times version of the story.
Okay, so, well, the New York Times version, I'm sure the L.A. Times is they've twisted the thing just subtly that so people maybe don't notice. It's instead of discussing whether – I mean the real issue is there such a thing as man-made global warming.
Right. It's not whether there's global warming or not, but whether it's man-made.
Right. Now the other what they're twisting this to say that's not they're this is weird. You have to really read between the lines to kind of pick this up. But what they're really trying to do is have a trial on not whether it's man-made, not whether it's global warming, but whether global warming is bad.
Yeah, I like that one though. That makes sense.
Yeah, but it's totally beside the point and twisted. You know, is it bad? I mean, they can't prove it one way or the other because it's obviously it's not provable. You know, it's like, you know, is the change going to kill you in 2.6 years?
Here's a great quote
you
from
won't
the
know until 2.6 years.
Great quote from anyway, the LA Times. The Chamber of Commerce proposal, quote, brings to mind for me the Salem witch trials based on myth, said Brenda Eckwurzel, which sounds like a witch name, by the way, who was a climate scientist for the environmental group Union of Concerned Scientists. That's kind of crazy, though, when your name is Brenda Eckwurzel and you're talking about the Salem witch trials. Well, Brenda, you might want to change your name, okay? Because they sound like Eucalypta.
Yeah.
So, but this they want the EPA to jump in on this, right?
Yeah, the EPA with that arrogant woman that runs it, she'll just tell them to stuff it.
Is that what's her name?
I can't remember. I mean, I just remember. I can still see her though. Ugh. Anyway,
well, that is it. That is interesting, and of course, the reason why the Chamber of Commerce is doing this is because they represent medium and small businesses. And those are the businesses that will get hit the hardest, of course. Yeah, because of all the... In fact, I was reading that the Netherlands, speaking of Gitmo Nation East, they... Let me see if I have the story here. They have just put out a tender for their carbon trading system since they plan to actively trade here. Of course, we have Euronext, the option exchange in Amsterdam, so I guess they're on board with the program.
This is just some this cap and trade thing is ridiculous.
I wanted to mention, speaking of the Netherlands, that you remember the court case we talked about the Dutch royals who sued Associated
over
Press
over their photos. Yeah.
Over their photos. Well, the headlines read: Dutch royals win privacy case. And I found that highly interesting because, first of all, I looked into the court documents, and they sued the Associated Press. It's about four pictures, and these four pictures were of them while they were on vacation in Argentina. And they feel that they sued the AP under the European human rights legislation, wherein is stated every human being has the right to privacy. And so the judge said, well, you know what? Yes, everyone has the right to privacy. So those four pictures had no newsworthiness. And they also do not contribute to the broader social discussion. Ergo, they are deemed private and may no longer be published. But of course, the judge didn't say you can't take pictures of the royal family. It's just it has to be newsworthy. So, you know, it's kind of, it's not really a win. They got no money because they were suing for, you know, $25 million or whatever in total.
So they were suing for $25 million?
Yeah, like $25,000 a day that they kept each of the pictures up, and then they wanted to do it retroactively. Oh. And so that came up to some huge, huge number. So they got zero money, and they really didn't get a win, except, you know, I guess it's kind of interesting because now any celebrity could essentially say, hey, you know, this is private, I'm on vacation, screw you, go, you know, F off. Unless, of course, it's newsworthy, yeah. And that is the big question. When is it newsworthy?
Well, according to the tabloids, anything a celebrity does is newsworthy.
Right. And, of course, what was funny is everyone showing the pictures because, of course, the whole conversation is a newsworthy conversation, ergo, you can show the pictures. I mean, it's the stupidest thing in the world. It's like, okay. So, but I do like the headlines. Everyone's like, oh, Dutch royals win. It's horrible for freedom of the press. Screw you. They didn't win anything.
So here's an interesting one that's floating around. You've read this, I'm sure. You know, the WHO, which is weird operation, to say the least.
The World Health Organization. This is the severe warning they put out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, wait, let me get this straight. Now, my understanding is when you categorize these various viruses, one, if you have an H1N1 type XYZ, let's say, and you have another H1N1 type XYZ, it's the same virus.
Yeah.
So how do you have a severe version of it?
Well, let me just say exactly what they reported. According to Reuters, doctors are reporting, some doctors out there are reporting a severe form of the swine flu that goes straight to the lungs, John. Straight to the lungs. Causing severe illness in otherwise healthy young people and requiring expensive, I love this, expensive hospital treatment. You know, it really clicked for me when I read this. I'm like, of course, it makes so much sense. No one wants to be caught with their pants down with a very expensive treatment from the straight to the lungs version of the flu. So we better ram some healthcare reform through there. I think it kind of fits. If there was a global strategy, well done. A little bit late, but well done.
Well, this is assuming that they haven't tweaked the virus just to make it a little more powerful. They spoke about earlier, if you remember that, right?
Well, yeah, of course. They're even saying,
let's make it so it kills everybody.
Well, what they're doing is they're now saying, hey, this is exactly what happened with the 1918 flu pandemic, known as the Spanish flu, which, of course, is horseshit because that was completely different. That happened in soldiers who were sent over in ships who had been, oh, wait a minute, vaccinated. And because of the vaccination and any vaccine, particularly with an adjuvant, and, you know, hey, This Week in Virality, whatever the heck the name of your show is, I may be kind of paraphrasing, but from what I understand is if you have severe stress levels, it can actually activate a lot of shit, and it can make it worse, and it can wind up killing you. But it's not the same thing as the 1918 flu, but they're now comparing it to the 1918. Remember they dug that corpse up and got some DNA? It makes so much sense, John. They dug up that dead dude. They got some of the 1918 flu, mixed it up, tweaked it a little bit, and we're off to the races.
So I'm looking at this document saying the Spanish influenza epidemic of 1918 was caused by vaccinations. I didn't know they were giving vaccinations back then for the flu.
Yeah, but I don't think it was for the flu. I think it was for something else, but they vaccinated all of these soldiers.
Oh, because they had some other stuff in there, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they vaccinated these soldiers that were shipped over to Spain, which is why it's called the Spanish flu. And because of the stress of being packed into ships, and it was 1918, you know, it wasn't exactly, you know, the Boeing luxury liner. Doctors, of course, are questioning this. Even ABC News has a report on that. All this stuff is in the show notes at noagendashow.com, by the way.
All right. Well, on the topic, I found something interesting because I was looking into this story and I ran into an old posting from Kelly Pundit back in April of 2005 discussing who the WHO's incompetence and mainly about the fact that they're trying to get baby formula out of Africa and they claim that, you know, there's need it because there's not enough breasts, I guess. But they ran into this.
What? Say what? Breasts?
There needs to be more breasts.
You have my attention.
So, anyways, it's just a very interesting article. I'll send you. Well, it's under kellypundit.blogspot.com, and it's from April 6, 2005. Somebody's gonna have to look it up. Anyway, but he or she, I guess it must be a she, since it's got an I, found this interesting quote from a 1992 book called Malaria Capers. printed by Norton and Company, not a slouch. She says, read here to find out how radical activists have kept the safe life-saving insecticide DDT out of this paramount to mass out of use that is paramount to mass murder. I'm sorry, that's population control. Go read it yourself. I'm not kidding. And then here's the quote from the book. Population control advocates blame DDT for increasing third world population. In the 1960s, the World Health Organization authorities believed there was no alternative to the overpopulation problem, but to assure then up to 40% of the children in poor nations would die of malaria. As the official Agency for International Development stated, quote, rather dead than alive and notoriously reproducing.
But, John, are you now coming over to the dark side? Are you finally believing that there's actually a group of people who do believe in population control who are trying to kill us? And I would look at the Bilderberg group. That's kind of the guys that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's what you do. So, people should go to the Wikipedia and look up Margaret Chan. This is that Ms. Swan type person who's running the WHO.
Oh, Chan. She's freaky. She is freaky.
She was initially trained as a home economist teacher in the Northcote College of Education in Hong Kong. Then she earned her bachelor's degree in home economics. And finally got an MD in the University of Western Ontario in 73 and 77, respectively. Oh, actually, she got her home economics degree in 73, then got an MD. And blah, blah, blah.
So there's two docs I wanted to bring up.
Another lightweight that somehow got bumped into this position.
She's a mind control freak. She does whatever. She could be Kim Jong-il's illegitimate sister. Look at her. A white paper published by our favorites, the Rand Corporation, in March of this year, sponsored by Sanofi Pasteur, of course, one of the makers of the H1N1 vaccine, identifies parental consent laws, medical homes, and lack of access to medical records as main barriers for immunizing low-income adolescents. But they have a solution. Listen to this from the white paper. It would appear at first blush that vaccinating teens in a school setting would be a practical way to address the barriers posed by the lack of a medical home. Schools are the only place where the vast majority of adolescents are found consistently and predictably. Many of the barriers we identified, while seemingly distinct, were tied to current consent laws. We found that the requirement that parental consent for vaccination be provided in real time clearly limits the vaccination of adolescents in such venues as schools, where parents and adolescents are not likely to be together. So separate them, get the kids in schools, and two to the arm. That's nice. That's really nice, Rand Corporation. Meanwhile, in Gitmo Nation East in the United Kingdom, remember those swine flu call centers they set up? Where you could call in if you had symptoms, so they could take you through the skip logic, as our friend Vivek would call it.
Skip logic. You did two to the arm.
Skip logic, and then you could get a swine flu buddy to go get some Tamiflu for you. Well, there's nothing going on. There's no calls coming in. In fact, the managers of these call centers are allowing the people manning the phones to play Trivial Pursuit and Monopoly while on the job.
Well, at least you're doing something valuable with your time.
So the ministers are the health secretary, Andy Burnham of the UK, who, of course, you know, they put 100,000 people on the phones. You know, it's a 40 million pound operation, and that these folks are basically being paid to play Monopoly and probably Solitaire on their PCs. Way to go, dudes. Way to go.
Hey, by the way, if you people out there are going to play Solitaire on the PC, play Spider with a full deck with all the suits. That'll keep you busy. Once you learn how to play the game right, you win about 3% of the time, about 3 games out of 100. That's a very good time consuming game.
Another John C. Dvorak. No job having tip. Yes. So, for those of you listening to us, or maybe you're new to the show and you're thinking, what are these two jabronis talking about? You know, vaccination, this, you know, I just want to say on this very program about a year ago, I certainly was telling you, anyone who had daughters, please do not let them get vaccinated with this Gardasil crap. This is the HPV anti-cervical cancer drug, which was poorly tested, was known to only maybe protect a child against, or a female against, 7 of the 12 possible types of cervical cancer. And by the way, you have to have sex to actually be infected with cervical, in this case, with this type of cervical cancer. So there are so many stories coming out, and there's this one from examiner.com, which will be in the show notes, just to show you that we are not entirely nuts. There are stories here, on this one page, that are just gut wrenching when you read about girls that died, that it became paralyzed, and, you know, and were healthy 16, 17, 18 year old girls. And they took the first shot. They had to come back for the second shot. By the way, these shots are like $300 a pop. Third shot, boom, they die. And it's just tons and tons of stories from all over the world, all related to this horrible, so-called vaccine, which of course was, as far as I can tell, probably not a, a part of the out to kill us scheme, but more like, a way to make up for the Vioxx that, that of course was taken off the market. They had to come up with another money-making scheme.
It's all about the money.
And to kill us.
So do we have some clips there from me?
I got some clips from you and I got some clips from me.
You want to play one of my clips?
Yeah, sure.
Since we're on the talking about the medical system, I got a kick out of this one. This woman, this is a kind of a long clip because she's too chatty and I couldn't really cut it down that much, but you can interrupt it as you normally do.
as I'm known to do.
This woman is Sally Satel, and she just finished a book. She was on C-SPAN. She just finished a book, and Book Talk. She just finished a book called When Altruism Isn't Enough, and it discusses essentially the idea.
Explain the word, the word altruism, John. I don't think
altruism,
everyone knows.
Altruism, you do, it's like doing something for nothing. And in fact, what she's talking about specifically is people who give away a kidney to save somebody else's life, which is, would be an altruistic thing to do. And she points out that, you know, everybody in the process, from the kidney bank to the doctors to the nurses to everybody and their sister in the hospitals, they're all making money on this transaction, except the person who actually gave their kidney.
There's big money in them spare parts.
And so she makes the argument that there should be a market for certain things. In other words, if you feel like selling your kidney for $50,000 because you could use the money and you're healthy,
you should be able to do that. Yeah. Well, this is what these guys in New Jersey were doing, right? The rabbis, they were all involved with organ trade. I mean, it's a $1 billion business.
But the idea is it should be legalized, she thinks, and, you know, even though I know what the counter argument is, well, if that's true, then everybody in China will be giving up their kidneys because, you know, it's going to be a human, you know, disastrous human, this and that and the other thing. So she goes on and on. She discusses part of this. And then at the very end, that's why you have to listen to the whole thing, you all of a sudden realize, oh, wait a minute, there is a vested interest in here in this whole scheme of things to actually keep kidneys off the market. I wonder what group could that be? And you kind of listen to this clip.
Sensible, saves money, and saves lives.
Yeah, thank you for bringing up the public. In the book, in fact, one of the appendices is...
Well, that's funny. I love how she slips in appendices. No pun intended, by the way.
Covers the literature on polling data. And there have been surveys and polls done. And the great preponderance of these surveys have found that the majority of people are very receptive to this concept. And surprisingly so, even because they've often been in these questionnaires, have often set up a market system. You know, these are your choices. We pay or we do this or we do that. But cash is one of the and still people will say, well, something we should think about. So that's I think you're right. And so
I'm liking this. I'm thinking we need to set up a trading system, John. This could be a complete computerized market.
Huh, like cap and trade.
Or, you know, like pork bellies.
Anyway, go on.
And the case, I think, with the public is way out ahead of the experts. As I alluded to before, you asked about where the resistance is coming from. One major obstacle is the National Kidney Foundation. They're cheapening the gift, that logic that I find kind of inscrutable. What's especially surprising about the National Kidney Foundation is that they were once very much in favor of doing pilot studies on incentives. Up until the early 90s, through the 90s, excuse me, they kind of changed their tune in 2000. And I have theories, although frankly I'm not exactly sure why. I think it had to do with a change in membership of their board. There's someone on it who is a very outspoken opponent. So the National Kidney Foundation is not much of a help to us here, and unfortunately, they are considered a grassroots organization. They're not a grassroots organization. They're an organization of professionals. They have close ties with the dialysis industry, which is fine. You want the dialysis industry to have the best. I'd love for them to be out of business, but not because they're a bad industry. I just wish people didn't need dialysis.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that
there
expensive you,
dialysis.
Dialysis, of course. Yeah, that makes so much sense. You know, I have to say, of course, you know, I think the strongest argument against a free trade in organs is that, you know, the worry would then be that people with no money wouldn't be able to afford the spare parts. But are you allowed to donate your own kidney to your own child or parent or friend or anybody you want to? You're allowed to do that, right?
Yeah. In fact, there was a hilarious 30 Rock episode this last season where this guy finally finds his dad, and then the first thing the dad wants is his kidney because he's got a bad kidney. Anyway.
But of course, that would screw with the expensive dialysis business. Yeah, of course. That's why we keep it illegal. It is illegal, I presume, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You can't go around selling your kidney to the highest bidder.
But you can give it away if you want.
Yeah, that's okay. And that's what she mentioned, this cheapens the gift quote, which is apparently one of the arguments that the Kidney Foundation uses. No, you can't sell it because then it cheapens the gift. It's not, you know,
cheapen
you
it,
are giving
make
away
it more
the
expensive?
Kidney. You don't want a cheap gift. I mean, you know, you pay, selling it is cheapening the gift, the gift, the gift.
I'm looking because I saw a story about the, let me see if I can find this. I skipped the story, but now you brought this up. It kind of fits right in. Maybe won't be able to find it, but it was exactly about this, and it is a $1 billion industry, the illegal trade of organs. It's huge. And you know, honestly, if, here it is, 42.9 euros per arm. Let me see.
Per arm?
Yeah. Let me see. How come this thing is...
I mean, you can see the problem here, but at the same time, if it's regulated.
Well, that, by the way, is
yeah, you can cut off my arm.
That's a current market price. German company.
Is it okay if I go one-armed?
Oh, listen to this. The German, I haven't read this. The German company Tutagen's business in body parts is as secretive as it is lucrative. It extracts bones from corpses in the Ukraine to manufacture medical products as part of a global market worth billions that is centered in the United States.
Huh. Go figure.
You can read through that. I'll put that in the show notes for sure. Yeah, but Well, you know, I'll tell you, though, if a loved one of mine needed an organ and we were on a waiting list, you can better believe I'd be scouring Craigslist. I'd be looking for some organs. I don't think you can stop that.
Craigslist.
Isn't that where they usually show up on Craigslist?
Yeah, right. You're listed with the hookers.
Yeah.
So I noticed, by the way, talking about hookers.
Yes, I have a Timothy Geithner clip ready. Or are we talking about something else?
Oh, you have a play the Geithner clip.
Geithner was interviewed on something by the fine Murdoch publication known as the Wall Street Journal. And I didn't know this existed. It's actually very cool. It's the Dig Dialogue with double G. So there's like dig questions, and then the questions that get the most digs are then asked. And this dude, Alan, whatever his name is, he actually starts off, well, you know, I'm just kind of the facilitator here. So in other words, all these questions that are really creepy that you're about to get, you know, they're not really my questions, but they're questions from real people. And of course, these stories, which are, and they're good questions, only have like 500 digs. So it's not a lot of people that actually
care. Yeah, we
actually
posted this video on the blog at dvorak.org/blog for anyone interested.
Yeah. So a couple of clips from that. And of course, the questions we really want to know are, you know, hey, you've got all these like Goldman dudes running around, you know, is that okay? And so I have a part of the question and then Geithner's answer, which is just exceptional.
That's a serious question that lies behind this. There's another question here. It's the fifth question from Key THB with 579 digs.
579 digs. It's like no one gives a shit.
Exactly.
No one cares.
Says, how do you?
By the way, Britney Spears, no underwear stepping out of a car, 10,000 digs.
Feel about the revolving door between high job positions in the Treasury Department and Goldman Sachs. You worked for Bob Rubin, who ran Goldman Sachs before he was Treasury Secretary.
I worked for him as a civil servant.
I love how he's like saying, I'm not a part of Goldman Sachs. I'm not part of those guys. I have nothing to do with them. I just worked for them as a civil servant.
At the Treasury.
But while he was Treasury Secretary.
Well, and while he was Treasury Secretary, not at Goldman Sachs.
He wasn't at Goldman. I have nothing to do with Goldman. Nothing at all.
Not at Goldman Sachs, right.
Not at Goldman Sachs.
Hank Paulson.
Timmy Geithner. Do you think that kid was, like, pestered at school with that big head of his? Like, Timmy is a dork, and he can't get laid.
Paulson was your predecessor as Secretary of the Treasury. He ran Goldman Sachs. Steve Friedman, who was co-head of Goldman Sachs, was the chairman of your board.
At my request.
At your request.
At my request, but I have nothing to do with Goldman Sachs. It was my request.
At my request.
Take
duh.
It. Yeah.
At the New York Federal Reserve Board. I think you have some Goldman Sachs. Your chief of staff was a lobbyist for Goldman Sachs.
Oh, I thought we wouldn't have any lobbyists.
No, that can't
am I
be
mistaken?
True.
That can't be. That cannot be happening. There's no lobbyists here.
I think what you really meant to say was you're going to have only lobbyists.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Yeah.
Clearly, this makes some people nervous.
Let me just say, these are deeply honorable men.
Okay, no! That's where I lost it. These are deeply honorable men. Oh, yes. These are men who are deeply honorable.
Great public
They're
statesmen.
Deeply honorable. But you got to keep that clip.
Great public statesmen, okay?
Willing to come serve their country.
Dude, if you ask me to be in the Treasury, I'd show up. I'd be there in a heartbeat. No problemo, buddy. I'd be deeply, deeply dedicated and exceptional.
In very challenging times. And
give them a medal, Timmy.
Did exceptionally good things for the country. It's very important to recognize that. We're in.
I wish he could tell us which exceptionally good things they did for the country, but he kind of skips
over
that.
Well, we have
that.
To recognize it besides the point.
Yeah, recognize it no matter. We have to recognize it. You shall recognize. Recognize exactly what they did, you fools. Don't you understand?
You will obey.
Position where this government was forced to do exceptional things to save the economy from the brink of catastrophe.
Which, of course, hasn't worked because we're still on the brink.
What we be saying? He said, save us from the brink. Shouldn't we be saving us from the catastrophe?
No,
the
just
brink's
the brink.
No big deal.
No, just the brink. Just the brink.
And the people of this country need to make sure we have people in these jobs here with experience in markets. So that as we negotiate with these
experience in manipulating markets
firms to make to protect the taxpayer, make sure we're getting our money back, that we have people that understand these markets can actually understand them. So we will always be, as the Treasury has always done, we will always be looking to people with experience in the financial community, in business community, to come in these jobs because that is important for the American people. And
so there was no one else. Of all the financial wizards in the world, they all had to come from Goldman Sachs because they're exceptional men who are dedicated to their country. It's impossible to find them anywhere else. Goldman is why they're the Valhalla of finance. Wouldn't you agree, John?
Must be.
Just one important fact. You know, we're making some progress in
bankrupting the country.
Ready in walking back some of the broad investment.
Walking back some of the I love not seeing the video. I love just listening to it because the words have so much more importance when he says we're having some success walking back some of the. What does that mean? Walking it back. Definitely. Is it like you put a little satchel?
This guy's worse than Vivek Kundra.
Is it like a fanny pack full of money or something coming walking back? Oh, hey, Timmy, here's your money.
The government had to make in the industry, and we're doing a relatively good job at earning a good return for the taxpayer. Just to give you one example, the average return we've had on the $80 billion of capital of investments the government made that we've now had repaid, the average return for us is roughly 16% an annual rate. That's
16% annual rate. So that doesn't mean they actually paid the money back. It's just they're paying 16% interest, or?
I don't know. It's vague to me.
It's very
vague.
Some
of the money is paid back. A bunch of it was paid back by Goldman, which they used.
No. Listen to what he says. It's the Goldman deal, I think, or the Goldman thing, he calls it.
But can you talk about the Goldman Sachs investment?
Higher than that.
Higher than 16.
I think the Goldman thing is in the mid-20s.
The Goldman thing. Okay.
Goldman thing.
It's the thing. All right. At Goldman, we have things.
But the important thing is that you need to have people in these jobs. These are complicated, difficult in any times. They're exceptionally difficult, complicated in a crisis like this. And the American people need to have people here who understand and can negotiate effectively, can be the other side of things to make sure we're protecting the financial interest of the American people.
And I totally agree. It's amazing that they're only to be found at Goldman Sachs. Now, I have another clip, which is about all of the phone calls that went back and forth between Paulson and the CEO of Goldman Sachs. Of course, this is what Paulson was being interrogated about.
Yeah, this is when Paulson didn't do email. I hope this is more interesting than the last clip.
You didn't like that clip?
No, it was kind of boring.
Well, I think you'll find this one rather interesting, because now he actually explains what all these exceptional men did. See, you've got to listen to these things in sequence.
A key period last September, September 15th, Lehman Brothers is allowed to fail. Lehman, a major competitor of Goldman Sachs. Next day, AIG is bailed out.
And of course, $8 billion of that bailout went straight to Goldman Sachs.
By the government. AIG was on the other side of numerous credit default swaps that Goldman Sachs was involved in. During that week, we now know that Lloyd Blankfein, the head of Goldman Sachs, was on the phone a couple dozen times with Secretary Paulson.
Talking about their golf game.
He says he was on the phone some with you that same week. Are you surprised that that gives people a sense of inappropriate contact between these institutions?
Now, listen closely to what he says about these exceptional men, all these great guys at Goldman Sachs, all these statesmen, all these patriots, what they did.
Alan, like the things we've been through as a country, we still face, have made the American people just deeply angry and frustrated and skeptical about the quality of judgments made by this government. It's a completely understandable thing, and we have been forced to do just extraordinary things, and frankly, offensive things.
Thank you. Offensive things. So what is it? Extraordinary? Offensive?
To help save the economy from the risk of even more catastrophic damage. And that requires, and required us, in part because we had so poor tools coming into this, doing things that are going to be deeply unpopular. But we do them not for the benefit of any institution. And I am completely confident that none of those decisions that you refer to had anything to do with the specific interests of any individual firm, much less Goldman Sachs.
What does that mean, much less Goldman Sachs? Take it from Timmy. Timmy says, I am completely confident there was no gambling going on here. I won't play the rest of it.
It's too disgusting. Pretty apparent that he's not going to say anything.
You want to hear his answer about his own tax evasion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I forgot he's a tax evader.
Yeah. Like 7 years worth of taxes. I forgot to pay. So, of course, the question is, hey, is it too difficult to figure out what you're supposed to pay in taxes, Timmy?
From Zwentco, 690 digs. You failed to pay some of your federal taxes in 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004. Please explain. You've explained it before. They're asking you to explain.
So he's actually saying, you've explained it before. Please explain it again. What does he do? He doesn't explain it.
Again.
I have. You know, it's an understandable thing. I was the president's nominee to be Secretary of the Treasury. You would expect my tax history to be of interest to the American people. It's a completely understandable thing. And one great strength about our system is the people who are asked to do these jobs.
This is great. He's already gone off to another topic. He's not answering your question.
Have to go through an exceptionally careful review of their entire financial, personal, professional history.
That's good.
And a great strength of our system is all that information was put in the public domain. Congress of the United States had the opportunity to go
through. Makes me puke. We're transparent. That's all he's going to say. He doesn't answer the question. Just says it's really good that everyone could find out about it, isn't it? Wasn't that really good? That was fabulous. So, of course, the reason why Timmy Geithner is interesting is he's part of this lawsuit now that is ongoing about, I think, Bloomberg. We talked about this months and months ago. Bloomberg is suing the Federal Reserve, not the Treasury necessarily, but the Treasury, of course, involved, to find out who the Federal Reserve lent $2 trillion worth of money, our money, to, what banks that was. And, of course, the Federal Reserve says, well, we can't tell you that. That's your money. You're not supposed to know. And then we have Dr. Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul's bill, H.R. 1207, which calls for an audit of the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve is saying, oh, well, we can't do that. We have to separate monetary policy from politics. We don't want the politicians messing around with that, do we? Not in our private little affairs, a little bank, or our little scam that's going on here. But Barney Frank slips up, John, and he says that H.R. 1207, Ron Paul's bill to audit the Federal Reserve, will actually pass the House in October. What you said would never happen. No, you want to hear him say it?
No, I'm not saying that he didn't say it. I'm just saying the Federal Reserve is not going to get audited.
Barney Frank says it's going to happen.
Barney Frank.
Twinkle toes. Barney Frank says it's going to happen. Well, his actual words are, you'll find the YouTube.
Well, it's hard to understand his actual words anyway. It sounds like he's got a mouthful of mush.
Hold on a second. It's pretty easy to understand. I'll fast forward to the actual.
I'm running a prostitution ring from my house in Washington, D.C., but that's okay because...
Let me fast forward to the bit where he actually says it.
That lending power, we are going to put some restraints on it. Finally, we will subject them to complete audit. I've been working with Ron Paul, who's the main sponsor of that bill. He agrees that we don't want to have the audit appear as if it is influencing monetary policy, because that would be inflationary, and Ron and I agree on that. And we also say one of the things...
Interesting. So the reason why he said it would create an inflationary run. So I guess the whole thought behind this is, if they find out which banks were lent all this money, people would have a run on that bank and would pull their money out, and that would be an inflationary run. Is that what would happen, Mr. Economist?
Well, I'm not Mr. Economist by any means, but I can tell you this much. If I found out my bank had a whole crap load of money, I'd feel a lot more secure about the bank. I wouldn't go take the money out.
No, exactly. Well,
and besides all your money's insured anyway. This whole thing is not going to create it. If they're starting to talk about an inflationary run, they're trying to set up,
set up a bank. They're trying to set up a bank to fail. That's what they're doing. They're going to set up some banks to go down. Here, listen to Barney. Last 30 seconds.
What I will show you is what the Federal Reserve buys and sells. And that will be made public, but not instantly. Because if that was made instantly, you would have a lot of people trading off of that, and it would have too much impact on the market. Again, Ron agreed with that. So we will probably have that data released after a time period of several months, enough time so it wouldn't be market sensitive. That'll be part of the overall federal regulation that we are adopting.
By the end of the year?
The House will pass it probably in October.
There you go. The House will pass it probably in October.
Okay.
Barney Frank said it.
Yeah, okay, well, they probably will pass it, maybe. Anyway, ByteLaw just sent me an interesting thing, which is Geithner's notice of resignation before he took the job. Resignation to his other things when he took the job.
Oh.
He had to resign from a bunch of things to take the government job, right?
Yeah, it was only public service, though, right? Public service only. He was a public servant. He just told us so.
Well, that may be true, what he said, but here's what it says in this little note that he signed. By the way, his signature is very strange. Upon confirmation, I'll also resign from my positions with the following entities: the Center for Global Development, board member; the Economic Club of New York, trustee; the RAND Corporation, trustee; the Partnership for New York City, ex officio board member; the National Academy Foundation, board member, director; International Rescue Committee, overseer; the Trilateral Commission,
bada bing. There you go, baby.
The Council on Foreign Relations, member. The Group of 30.
Whoa.
member. You haven't heard that one, huh?
No, those are the people who really want to kill us, I think.
The Bank for International Settlements, direct. The Peterson Institute for International Economics, director. And the New York State Commission to Modernize Financial Services, member.
I bet you this dude was pulling down $1 million a year easily in board fees.
Says, I do not hold any financial interest in these entities. For a period of 1 year after my resignation from each of these entities, I will not participate personally.
What, for 1 year? Only 1 year?
For a period of 1 year after my resignation from each of these entities, I will not participate. Is he saying he's only going to be in this job for a year or what?
Well, doesn't that mean that after a year he can hop right back in?
That's what it sounds like.
Jeez.
Here, put this on the show notes and let people deal with it.
I don't think
message
people...
Message from John C. Dvorak.
Hey, I got a message. That's why you do it, right? John C. Dvorak.
Message from John C.
Shut
Dvorak.
Up. Stop it. Oh, nice message. Thank you. I think I can have a... This is great, Mr...
Yeah, it's quite...
Yeah, this is...
Quite
this
interesting.
This is amazing. Yeah. Oh, wow. I wish someone would analyze his signature.
He was just a guy out there doing his public service.
Yeah, public service. Right. The Rand Corporation.
The Rand Corporation.
What a lying sack of shit this guy is. I just got to call him on it.
So let's go with a clip I've got here. I wanted to get the one thing out of the... one thing out of the way, because I think there's a breakthrough commercial came out that needs to be discussed a little bit. Since we were still on medical for a while, I wanted to get this out of the way, which is, you know, one of our commercials which has the disclaimers, the ones we love
so
much.
Oh, yes, of course, disclaimers, as we know. Look at your pack of cigarettes. When it says that you will die a horrible, painful death, it actually triggers your brain to want to buy them.
Now, this one is for some... I'm going to get a setup on this. This one's for Cymbalta, which is an antidepressant drug. And if you can listen to the beginning, we might have to play it over. But at the very beginning, you hear somebody laughing. Huh? And then you hear some birds tweeting. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Oh, this
and
is all very important.
And then she goes
important.
Into her little pitch about what depression's all about. And she says, you want to meet people? And then there's a dog bark. Just down the middle of nowhere. It's very interesting, the subtleties behind the
book. Oh, and you know they research that shit. You know they've researched all of that stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're alerted to the dog bark. Woof. And anyway, and it's all subtle. But then when she kicks into her, this girl who's the announcer, who's quite good, but then they've taken the part where she has all the disclaimers and they've sped her up and they've also clipped out a lot of the white space. In fact, there's one spot where she almost talks over herself.
You know, we could do a 3-hour show if we did that, if we sped it up and cut out the white spaces.
Exactly. Now, so I want you to play this, but the thing that's noteworthy, I'll bring up at the end. It's a very short pro and then a very long, the disclaimer is unbelievable.
Okay, this is the commercial for Cymbalta.
When you're depressed, where do you want to go? Nowhere. Who do you feel like seeing? No one. Depression hurts in so many ways. Sadness, loss of interest, anxiety. Cymbalta can help. Cymbalta is a prescription medication that treats many symptoms of depression. Tell your doctor right away if your depression worsens, you have unusual changes in behavior, or thoughts of suicide. Antidepressants can increase these in children, teens, and young adults. Cymbalta is not approved for children under 18. People taking MAOIs or thyridazine or with uncontrolled glaucoma should not take Cymbalta. Taking it with NSAID pain relievers, aspirin, or blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Severe liver problems, some fatal, were reported. Signs include abdominal pain and yellowing of the skin or eyes. Talk with your doctor about your medicines, including those for migraine, or if you have high fever, confusion, and stiff muscles, to address a possible life-threatening condition. Tell your doctor about alcohol use, liver disease, and before you reduce or stop taking Cymbalta. Dizziness or fainting may occur upon standing. Side effects include nausea, dry mouth, and constipation. Ask your doctor about Cymbalta. Depression hurts. Cymbalta can help.
Cymbalta rocks, dude. This sounds like awesome stuff. You might get dizzy when standing.
So here's the interesting thing about this commercial, besides the fact that I like the dog. You heard the dog bark, I think.
Yeah, I heard the tweet. I heard the dog. And I love the music and how it, you know, kind of like, it is depressing. It's like, you know, you want to, it's like a Leonard Cohen vibe there.
Here's what's interesting. The sales pitch at the beginning, which was very short and it wasn't much of a sales pitch, just kind of depressing in itself. You know, you want to meet people you can't. You get.
Yeah.
It's actually very 20 seconds. The commercial had to run 1 minute and 15 seconds.
Yeah. So it was actually the whole commercial, the whole commercial length is all the disclaimer of all the good stuff. Like you might want to kill yourself.
So they can't even make, in other words, this stuff is so weird that they can't even jam it into a 1 minute commercial segment, and they have to buy a special package because the way TV ads are sold, they're sold in 30-second and 1 minute ads.
Yeah.
There are some 15-second packages here and there. So they had to buy a special deal and get a minute and 15 to just keep yammering about what all the bad things can happen to you. It's unbelievable.
But it's not bad, John. It's really good. That sounds exciting to me. I mean, there's all this great stuff that can happen. I mean, geez, and it's legal. I mean, why would you deal with the illegal crap?
I'm waiting for the 1 minute and 30-second commercial, which is just laced with it. It couldn't even get to 30 seconds of sales pitch. It was 20-something, like 22.
But what I never understand about antidepressants is, isn't it supposed to stop you from wanting to commit suicide? How come it actually can make you want to commit suicide?
Because you looked at your doctor bill.
Listen to that.
You know what? You're paying for one of these pills?
Let's listen to the pitch here. It's great.
When you're depressed, where do you want to go?
I want to go to the toilet.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. I just want to stay home and be depressed.
What? Wait, I want to preface this. I generally don't want to leave the house and don't want to go see
John,
people
this is
either.
For you. John, this is targeted directly at you. And
but
in fact,
I like it that way.
Yeah.
No.
Roof.
Depression hurts in so many ways.
That's true.
Sadness. Loss of interest.
No sex drive.
Anxiety. Cymbalta can help. Cymbalta is a prescription medication that treats many symptoms of depression. Tell your doctor right away if your depression worsens, you have unusual changes in behavior, or thoughts of suicide.
Thanks, Doc. I now want to kill myself. Idiots.
Stay away from these drugs.
Really? Please. I mean, now I actually want to advocate weed again.
So, ByteLaw says, whoops, it's going to load a PDF. Oh, I made a mistake of clicking on it. Sent us another document, which is Geithner's financial disclosures. And in there, he did not list the Trilateral Commission.
Ooh, missed one, Timmy. We'll talk about our friend Vivek. He's overseeing another fantastic project. Of course.
Another $18 million website?
Oh, no, much better than that. You know, the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, they have a lot of IT systems that, of course, you know, if those were, you know, hacked for any reason, you know, that could be serious business. You know, they might not be able to detect your water in your bag going through the X-ray. So SRA International is going to help protect the information technology systems from to prevent cyber attacks at the TSA. $53 million.
Wow.
For a firewall, essentially.
Well, you know, if the public wants to get raped, it's fine.
No one reports on this.
Well, put it in our list of things to look into. Yeah, there wouldn't be any reports. Why would anybody bother? It's too complicated. So hit my clip just to change the pace here for it says hit. So hit something, hit mouth or something like that.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Obama, change you can believe in. What's the tag?
So I want to play that every so often. That's a good I think that's a good segue clip because it doesn't mean anything. It's actually a promotion for the San Francisco 49ers.
Good.
But I don't think they're going to run it anymore because it's got violence in the.
That would be really bad.
So I found this would be a humorous clip. I'm watching Clinton, Bill Clinton. He's talking from a bunch of liberal bloggers at some big meeting. And these people are just like, you look at the...
How would these be, like Daily Kos?
Probably, but it was a huge gathering. It was a lot of people that were just, let's just put it this way, they're kind of goofy looking and many are shapen.
And we're talking about Hillary Clinton, right?
And so Bill Clinton's giving a speech to these people. And he just says something out of the blue that everybody eventually clapped for him on this, but I'm listening to, I heard it a different way. And I know you can just hear, listen to it and tell me if you're thinking what I'm thinking.
Hillary's concluding a trip to Africa now with the only female elected president on the continent in Liberia, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. But a couple of days ago, she was in Goma in the Congo, the site of one of the most difficult refugee camps in the entire world. I don't know what you think, but I think American secretaries of state ought to be in the places of human misery around the world.
Keep her there is what he's saying. He's saying keep her there.
Did I misinterpret what he said there? I'm not sure.
I think it's right. Bill, right on. Keep her there. Put her in that. Keep her in that refugee camp. She's nothing but trouble. She dissed me. She dissed me big time. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
So for my last presentation, I think, so I'm listening to, I've decided that the Law and Order Special Victims Unit, which we've talked about on the show before, is nothing more than a propaganda tool.
Of course, we've already connected the producer of that show to be a bestest buddy of George Bush, who of course is, you know, still in bed with, you know, it's all part of the gang.
So this episode was about teen pregnancy, and was a girl, some gang leader, you know, she decided that everyone in her group should get pregnant, so they all got pregnant. It's based on some story, supposedly. It turns out, by the way, the story was bogus.
I think the UK had a couple of cases of that.
Yeah, and it turns out if you really look into it, there was some journalist's idea of a good story. But anyway, just play this clip because it has a couple of interesting little cultural tidbits in it that I thought were amusing.
Fidelia, why don't we talk about the father of the baby, huh?
So what's your story?
Excuse me?
You have kids? You're pretty old.
We're here to talk about you.
I bet you're jealous. Old chicks are totally jealous of me.
Old. That's how kids talk, by the way. I have a 19-year-old. That's exactly how they talk. Not.
Is that chicks. It? Did you wait too long? Tick-tock.
Fidelia, a baby is not an accessory. It is not a bracelet or a pair of earrings or a slamming pair of jeans.
Yeah, just ask Angelina Jolie. Or Madonna. It's not an accessory. Not to have one yourself. You got to go get one from Africa.
This is a living, breathing human being that you are bringing onto this earth.
You think I don't know that?
If you did, you'd be petrified about your future. Do you know the odds of a teen mom finishing high school? Forget college or any other dream that you might have. Life as you know it is over now. There's no going to the mall or hanging out with your friends.
Oh, bummer. Oh, life is ending.
I mean, you might see them, but if you do, it'll probably be in line waiting for food stamps or all of you going to the doctor trying to get an appointment at the free clinic.
Daddy, make her be quiet.
That's enough, detective.
Do you know the health risks to babies of teen moms? Dyslexia, retardation, increased risks of blindness, cerebral
Daddy.
Palsy.
Don't you try to blame my daughter.
Oh, my God. Is she so bad, this actress, that she actually is stumbling over the list that she's been given to read?
Know the health risks to babies
you know what's
of teen
funny?
Moms?
What?
When she's reading that list, she actually looks down
and at the list.
She had the list
she's looking
hand.
At the list. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Oh, my
let's,
God.
Let's listen to it again.
Health risks to babies of teen moms? Dyslexia?
That almost sounds like an edit, man. I wonder if the video, if it has an edit. Dyslexia?
No, it did look real.
Dyslexia, retardation, increased risks of blindness, cerebral palsy.
Don't you try to blame my daughter.
She's looking down right after dyslexia. She looks down at something. And I just got the sense that it was...
She missed the blindness one. She couldn't remember what it was.
You know, whatever works.
Something wrong with our bananas, John. Well, not ours, but...
Oh, no, bananas are dying. There are going to be no more bananas in the world.
No more bananas for you! Oh, sorry, wrong one. I meant this
No service for you!
That's what I meant. Yeah, from Angola to Uganda, bananas are dying. And the bananas are...
John C. Dvorak.
Bananas are very, I'm not even going to look at your message. Bananas are very important food in general, but in places like Africa. And they're dying.
Yeah, well, we should probably both read about this, but I've been told a little bit about it. And apparently, strain of banana is the most popular banana. It's been inbred so much that essentially it has a genetic endpoint, whereas in two or three more generations of the same banana, and it's just not going to stop.
Well, you know, so, what do you mean? Of course, it's going to stop, John. You know, there's always salvation. You know that, don't you?
Well, by the way, this is not the first time this has killed. This is not the first banana breed that has died off on us. There used to be one that was more popular that we don't even know. You and I have never had one.
I wonder who could help in this situation. Monsanto. I wonder.
So I wonder if is Monsanto in the story?
Let me see. I'll have to look at this extra link here. I'm sure they are.
There's not. We're telling you. We're giving you the word up in advance, Monsanto. Get on it.
Let me see. It's a BBC story. Scientists from the Consultative Group on International Agricultural Research, which I think the acronym is CIGAR, used the statement saying drastic and expensive control measures were needed. Mm-hmm. They recommended completely excavating entire banana fields and treating them with pesticides. Monsanto. Not mentioned specifically, but yeah, you know it's on its way.
Yeah, hopefully. Doing what we can. We need Monsanto support.
Well, I was reading another thing about International Paper Company, the world's largest pulp and paper maker. We've been following the paper industry for some weird reason. They plan to remake commercial forest in the same way Monsanto Corporation revolutionized farms with genetically modified crops. International Paper's ArborGen joint venture with Mead West Vaco Corp and New Zealand's Rubicon Limited is seeking permission from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to sell the first genetically engineered forest trees outside of China.
It's called West Vaco, by the way.
Yeah. Well, we're doomed.
I don't know whether you just can't genetically engineer paper to come out the ground as paper.
Well, why don't we just use the Sony e-reader with their electronic paper?
Well, that would, yeah, there you go.
You know, just let trees grow. I mean, geez. I mean, I don't understand. We've got plants shutting down in Finland because there's not enough need for paper. But for some reason now, the U.S. Department of Agriculture sees a need to put in Franken forests.
Yeah. I think there's a good need for that. That way you can make them in a smaller area. So, I wanted to do some business that our website, for some unknown reason, the PayPal link stopped working.
Yeah.
Sometime around Wednesday, like Thursday. So our income was off substantially. And I'm not going to blame everybody for not giving us money when a lot of them went there. But now you can go back and we also changed a couple of things on there. And I want to go through some of our donors. This is Sunday, so we have to do donor day.
Did we get anyone asking for ringtones?
That's the interesting thing. No.
Okay. How incredibly interesting.
It's interesting to me. It's like, you know, we don't want your ringtones. So
I don't think people actually listen to the show. They're just like, well, I'll click on this. Hey, here's a button to click. Oh, it works. Let me give these guys some money. They're asking for a donation. Yeah,
well, that would be okay, too.
Yeah.
But let's go over the donors this week. We had Ian Smith from Cleveland, UK, gave us 60. Anyone named Ian is usually from the UK.
Yes, typically.
John Matthews coughed up another 200. He's been giving us, he's putting together his own program to become a knight, so he's getting there.
Is he on the layaway program?
Yeah, no, he's on his. Anyone who wants to do one of their own layaway programs, instead of clicking and just wants to give certain amounts when they feel like it, but as long as they keep their own books, as far as I'm concerned, it's the same thing. And, you know, it's all in the database, so it's not, like, hard to figure out. BC Computers or BBC Computers. This is BC Computers in Bloomfield, Connecticut, 50. Then we have one from a guy who's given us money before. He gave us another $100, but he doesn't want his name mentioned. He wants John Hawk's name mentioned.
That's Curb, his boss, isn't it?
Yeah. Curb Appeal Concrete. He's uh-huh. in the cement business.
I bet you they bank with the mechanics bank.
Plug.
His boss needs... Let's give him another plug, John. Please. I think that's a good idea if he's in the cement business.
John Hawk.
Yeah,
in John. Curb Appeal Concrete.
Yeah.
DUIHelp.com, another $50. TinyEmpire.com, $51.50. We know what that means. It means we're crazy. Then we got an interesting one from Rodri Phillips for $100. From Manama. Manamana, Bahrain.
Yeah, Bahrain,
the
really?
The name of the town is Manamana, Bahrain.
Now you can use that in your next Market Watch column.
Manamana.
Definitely.
Alfred Person and Hammett. Yeah. 100. Solomon, I think we mentioned him last week from Jackson Heights. The people who send us money on Sunday morning, sometimes they get mentioned twice, like Trevor Fosher in Seattle. Now, the one we missed, a couple people. One we missed, Jake Kelly, who sent us some coins. But the one I have to read, and it's going to take a little time here, but it's not going to take too long because it's probably worth the effort. This is Bar.
Oh, hold on, John. I'm losing you.
Okay, Barbara Starr sent us 16. She wants us to plug Friends of Crowell Hilaka, which is apparently her old Girl Scout camp. And it's F-R-I-N-D-S, Friends of C-R-O-W-E-L-L. H-I-L-A-K-A. She says that some developers have talked the Girl Scouts Council into dumping this place to build condos or something, and she's annoyed.
Okay, and how much did she donate for that plug?
For that plug, $60.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
So it's 50 for the show and 10 for the plug. It's in Summit County, Ohio. Anyway, I would like to encourage people to go check out the new donation page.
Okay, so now it's working. Everything is, the buttons are working on the website.
Yeah, and I added a new button for a $5 a month subscription.
Okay.
And, Dvorak.org/NA, and also you can link to it from noagenda.squarespace.com. You click on the shield, and it'll jump over to this site. We're going to keep everything there so I can fix it when it needs to be fixed. I have no idea why those links went bad. Makes no sense.
I think it might have to do with a relative link or something, and where the...
Maybe.
Yeah, with the domain name change or something like that. That's usually the kind of stuff that happens.
I don't know. Just the whole thing seems. I didn't make any changes. I didn't move any of the artwork around or anything. It just doesn't. Just died a miserable death.
Okay. I do have one more little kind of wacky theory. If you're interested.
Yeah.
Reading through the, at least the published. Healthcare bill, which is about the length of Atlas Shrugged. Oh yes, I got it in. It's over 1,000 pages. There is a section in there, C11, section 2521, National Medical Device Registry, and I'd just like to read this to you, and you tell me how you take it, and then I'll tell you what my thoughts on this. The secretary, that meaning the secretary of Health and Human Services, shall establish a National Medical Device Registry, in this subsection referred to as the Registry, kind of like Windows, to facilitate analysis of post-market safety and outcomes data on each device that A, is or has been used in or on a patient, and B, is a Class 3 device or a Class 2 device that is implantable.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, this of course is not language that I can understand, because I'm not quite sure what it means to facilitate analysis of post-market safety and outcomes data. And why does it say outcomes data and not outcome data? I think this is the mark of the beast getting set up, John. I think this is the chip. They've got the chip baked right into the healthcare.
Well, they're talking about a heart pacemaker is what they're talking about.
Well, that's a chip too, isn't it?
It's not a chip. It's a big clunky thing.
Yeah, but your pacemaker will definitely have to be readable.
Yeah, I'm not going for this one.
Okay. I don't know. I was right on Gardasil. No. I should be a doctor.
Oh God! Can you imagine?
Yeah. If Timmy Geithner can be Treasury Secretary, then I should be able to be a doctor. Should be no problem.
Hey, play the hit me in the mouth clip one more time. I just want to hear it.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
All right.
That's the formula.
Yeah, just a couple to...
That's our formula, dish.
The United States may refuse a visa to Hamid Karzai's running mate. He, of course, is the CIA plant who has been running Afghanistan. This dude, his running mate, is so... And I think there may be a rift going on. I think Karzai actually believes in the hat, you know, made of lamb fetus skin. And then he actually thinks that it brings him power, because everyone's like all over this dude now. Of course, the elections. He walked out of a meeting with Holbrook, who was the special envoy, whatever that means, the envoy, because his running mate is a known heroin drug trafficker. Yeah, go figure. So there's definitely something weird going on with the U.S. and their plant. You know, remember that Karzai was literally planted there. You know, Bush went over and said, "Hey, dude, here's your palace. You know, you just watch you take care of everything here." So there's something brewing. Something else that I think we, if not specifically discussed, alluded to the weirdness of the cargo on that freighter that was hijacked by pirates. Now from multiple sources are saying, hey, you know, it seems like Israel's secret service, i.e. the Mossad, was behind the hijacking of this Russian freighter because it apparently had cruise missiles that were being shipped to Iran. Yeah, duh. But it was only supposed to be timber. So we'll put that in the show notes for you as well.
When they say lay the wood to them, maybe they're talking about something else.
And of course... President Obama has provided some transparency about the search of the U.S. Border and Customs Patrol. They will still be able to search your laptop and any other electronic devices to make sure you don't have any terrorist data that you're trying to bring into the country. Although it should now take no more than 5 days to scan your hard drive. And no more than 30 days for searches by immigration and customs agents. So more of the same stuff.
Yeah, I know. I saw that thing where they can apparently grab your laptop for no good reason.
Yeah, well, I thought that was going to go away, that idiocy, but I guess it's just staying right in there. So more of the same. Anything else?
You know, the problem is, I don't know.
No, right. You're breaking up.
Yeah, I'm buzzing.
You're what?
Wow. I'm sorry.
I think you need to check your machine because there's something seriously wrong with it.
The thing is, I've done two other things on this machine recently, and it came in loud and clear both ways. So I think there's some mismatch, or maybe it's this time. You know, when we do the show at 8 a.m, we have less problems, but as we go later in the day, these things start to crop up.
Okay, then let me ask you this finally, John. Do you sometimes eat tortillas?
Occasionally.
Do you drink?
Who doesn't?
Do you drink, what is it, Tecate or Tecate beer, Tecate?
I don't drink Tecate. I think it tastes pee.
Okay. It tastes like pee. But you might. I mean, if someone served it to you...
It smells like pee. It smells like pee. I don't know what pee tastes like.
Are you known to play Spanish music sometimes?
I have been known to play Spanish music.
Well, John, then you qualify for the warning issued by the U.S. Forest Service, which is investigating and targeting campers who eat tortillas, drink Tecate beer, and play Spanish music because you might be growing marijuana illegally, my friend.
And what's the reason for this?
Well, they issued a warning and said you've got to be on the lookout for campers in Colorado in the national forests who are eating tortillas, drinking Tecate beer, and play Spanish music because you're probably growing marijuana illegally. And they're profiling people who actually do participate in these three activities.
Señor, the tortillas are going to give us away.
But the beer smells like pee.
It does smell like pee. You know, when somebody said that once, Tecate, there used to be a story that the Mexicans peed in Tecate because they went to the United States with it. And I said, what a crock of crap. And then somebody at one of these stores around here, a huge pallet of Tecate fell over and busted all over the place so you'd smell it.
It smelled it
and
like...
I can see where that rumor came from. It smells like pee.
Coming to you from a rather noisy 17th century canal house crackpot command center where I believe the sushi is being prepared. Someone's hungry. I'm Adam Curry.
And from the... I see the veil of fog lifting now in northern Silicon Valley. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We will talk to you again on Thursday at 8 a.m. Gitmo Nation West time right here on No Agenda.